And he calls us that he might be Lord of our lives, to love him with all of our heart and our soul and our minds, living under the authority of his person and his word. And he really knows how to make us happy. And as I obey his word, wholly follow Jesus Christ in obedience, there is conflict. There's conflict with myself, will, what I want to do and what I see God wants me to do. And this is where I need to be able to apply the cross. He said, I knew you'd get to this. Luke 9:23. He said to them all, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. And the cross is more than a place. It's where Jesus died, but the cross to the believer is an active principle of life that is involved in our lives that we have to put into practice every day. Choose to do what I know God wants me to do rather than just what I want to do. If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Why would Jesus say such hard words? Because he knew the battle that was out there. He knew the scope and the need. He knew the hurt. He knew what it would require if men and women were going to come to know him. A world out there that was hurting, lost, and dying, and he knew there's only one kind of person who's going to make a difference and change that world. It is not a person who's giving himself to self-gratification, self-preservation, and self-fulfillment. He knew that this person would not make a permanent change. He was only along for the ride, and he wasn't really going to make a difference. He knew it would be the men and women who would follow him and walk the road of the cross as he did. We were at the university, the American University of Beirut. A number of the guys were out sharing Jesus Christ, and in little groups, in study groups. And they came across one fellow, and he was really interested. A Muslim guy. And he wanted to look into the scriptures. So the guys would get together with him, and they'd look in the scriptures together as to who Jesus Christ was. And he had a picture on his desk. And they said to him, who is this guy? And he wouldn't tell them. They became deeper friends, and he began to look into the scriptures more and more. And wanted to have a real personal faith. Sometime later, they said again to him, Muhammad, who is the guy at your desk? He says, that's my brother. He said, do you remember the Palestinian commando raid on the Olympics in Munich? Yeah, who could forget that? He was the one that pulled the pin on the grenade in the helicopter and blew himself up with everybody else. Muhammad's brother made a difference. You may not agree with his cause, but his life made a difference. And you know, we've got a greater cause. And Jesus Christ doesn't ask us necessarily to self-destruct. He asks us to follow him. And he says, for whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, he will save it. I tell you the truth. Unless a kernel of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Have you considered the options for your life? Now, I know we live in an age where it says, man, get into self-gratification. You ought to be fulfilled. Don't do anything you're not fulfilled in. What's the end of that? Jesus said, for whoever saves his life will lose it. we live our lives for ourselves, it will be loneliness and being alone. The option, if we follow Jesus Christ and give our lives for others, that others may know Him, there'll be fruitfulness for your fellow men in God's glory. Now, the devil's a liar. He's the father of lies. And he says, wait a minute. What he is telling you, he is from another age. He's not where you live. This thing of discomfort, giving up for your life, that hurts. He's a liar, the father of lies. He does not, you know, he sells half-truths. He wants us to see the pain without the power. And Jesus Christ wants us to see, if you commit yourself and you follow me and you live for others other than yourself, I commit resurrection power through your life. You commit yourself to die, I commit resurrection power through you. 2 Corinthians 4:10, Paul says it this way, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. You say, what you're saying is too hard. You're just from another world. Well, I want to clarify it for you tonight. I want to ask you a question. How many in this room are planning to get out of this world alive? Let me see your hands. No, you're right. You're not going to get out of this world alive. You will die. Then let me challenge you tonight. Then live your life for something that's worth dying for. Jesus' words are too hard. I can't do that. But wait a minute. You're not going to get out of this world alive anyway. Then live your life for something that is worth dying for. And I suggest to you tonight, seek ye first the kingdom of God, that men and women may be part of that last scene because of your life, from every tongue and tribe and nation and where you live. That there may be people there worshiping Him. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness to know Him, Jesus Christ. You've probably heard this illustration before. It's becoming famous now. It was from a buddy of mine that we were at university at the same time, two different universities, but going to school. We knew one another. A Jamaican. His name is Rayho. And it's really interesting. We work together today. We're colleagues. He's in the missions department, and I work over in the Middle East. Ray had graduated from Iowa State University, and he had college debts just like everybody else. Had to go back to Jamaica to pay him off. Had to get a job. So he thought, what should I do? So the biggest industry in Jamaica is the banana industry. So he decides, I'll go for a job. I'll go for an interview. And they heard a university graduate. Wow. Iowa State. So one of the top executives interviewed him. They came in. There was chit-chat back and forth. You know, what do you like to do? And he told him. And then the executive looked over and he said, but Ray, what do you really like to do? He thought, this is my opportunity. So he shared Jesus Christ with this executive. He says, you know, I want to pay my bills off and so forth, but he says, I want to serve him. I want to serve him here, and I want to serve him wherever he wants me to serve him. And he told him about Christ. The banana company executive leaned over the table and looked at Ray. And he says, Ray, we are looking for men who will give their lives for bananas. You know, Ray didn't know whether to cry or to laugh. Cry because it was such a shame, and laugh because it was so ridiculous. And you and I laugh about that because, you know, we can hold a banana in our hand and it turns black and mushy right before our eyes. Give my life for what? Bananas? You've got to be crazy. But then look in your other hand. What are you gripping tonight? We
And Jesus Christ says, if any man will come after me, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and thy soul and thy mind, and live under the authority of his person and his word, which will mean, yeah, I'll probably have to deny myself to do his will. What am I gripping in that hand? We laugh because, you know, the thing that I grip here just takes a little longer to turn black and mushy. It will. If it is a reason why I don't want to turn my life over to Jesus Christ, that he be Lord, and to love him with all my heart, my soul, and my life, my mind. For what shall a man give in exchange for his own soul? How do we sum this up tonight? To be the tool, the person God wants us to be, to accomplish his plan to reach the world. How do we sum it up in a picture? How do I become that person? Well, I talked about it. It's the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Is he my Lord? Do I have this love relationship that I am committed, that I don't want any rivals? By his grace, I will love him with all my heart, my soul, and my mind, under the authority of his person and his word, and I'll do what he wants me to do. Well, tonight, March 8, 1992, let's say your life is an automobile. You're driving down life's road, and you come into Colorado Springs, and you've come to a major intersection. And there stands Jesus Christ. So you've pulled up to this intersection, and you put on the brakes, and you've considered him, that he wants to be your Lord. He wants all of your life. And you say, get out the car, you look the car over, bend up fender. The car is not in real good shape. And you said, you know, I could improve on this. It wouldn't be bad to have Jesus Christ in this automobile going down life's road together. So you think, hey, good idea. And you open the back door and you say, please, get in. And he stands there and he won't get in. Of course. So you close the door and you open the front door by you. By yourself there. You're here in the wheel and you say, please, get in. Slide inside me, beside me. And he stands there. And you think, oh, good grief. He wants to get behind the wheel. And you look down, and there are your hands, you know, white knuckles, on the steering wheel. I'm in control. I know where I want to go. I've got my desire. And then you look at Jesus again. And you say, okay, Lord. And you open those hands. And you slide over. He comes around and he gets behind the wheel. Fasten your seatbelts. And you take off down the road. And you say, Lord, where are we going? He says, Motor Vehicles Department. I want you to sign the title deed over to me. I am worthy. I can take care of this automobile. Whatever you need, I will provide it. All authority has been given unto me. And God has given all nations to his Son. And he's not going to accomplish it without you. As you turn the authority of your life over to him, and that final picture will be different because of your life. Because there will be men and women from every tongue and tribe and nation because you have turned that authority over to him. He'll see to that. He is the power. We are the tool to be the best tool we can be in his hands. Let's pray. Father, I pray that there won't be a man or a woman who will leave from this week who will not have thought about this and realized that this was a major junction in their lives and will not have left this place without answering this question. Have I given all authority to him? Is he mercy, my Lord, that God may fulfill his plan in the world. Lord, I pray that if you've spoken to hearts tonight, that they may, whoever you've spoken to, may speak to one who brought them here and discuss this, of how this can be worked out in reality day by day where they live. Thank you, Father, for including us in your plan, that you will not accomplish this without us. And yet, you are the power and the authority, and we are the tool. And we give you praise in Jesus' name.